as you saw that with Abraham. And so the question then to you and I is, are you a friend of God? Are you a friend of God? And you know, Abraham was a friend, not only to God, but Abraham considered God a friend. And when you think about God being your friend, then you have to remember that there are no half friends with God. You kind of got all, you got to be all the way in. Do you, when you think about Abraham and God's relationship, do you see a man that was all the way in with God? And you certainly know God is always all the way in because of who he is. But Abraham was all the way in with God. And when you become or you decide that you want to be the friend of God, you have to decide in that moment that if you and God are going to have an intimate association and a relationship that we can term as a friendship, then you have to be invested. You have to be all the way in and recognize that there are no half friendships with him. You're either going to be the friend of God or a friend of the world, and God is not going to take anything in between. And he's not going to allow you to rival that friendship with anything else. Now, we understand that even when you, you know, when you have friends on this earth and you have relationships, sometimes you can have such a good, close relationship to a particular person that they don't like somebody else moving in on their territory. They'll get jealous if you start spending time with other people and acting like you don't have time for them when they consider themselves to be your best friend. We become territorial with those relationships, do we not? Yeah. And so with God, you have to think about it from that vantage point, but think about on a spiritual level. God is a territorial God, and he's not going to share you and your allegiance and all those kind of things with someone else or something else, and he's made that abundantly clear. So you have to be all the way in. James says it this way in James chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, being a friend of God and a friend of the world is a problem because the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 describes the devil as the god of this world. And you know, John would say, don't love this world. Don't cast all your affections on this world. We are warned constantly by Christ and by all the inspired writers not to love it, not to cast your affections and all your passions onto this world, because sometimes those things allow you to get misaligned with God. And so you have to be careful about that. So James says, no, when you have your friendship that is the world, you are an enemy or at enmity with God. Jesus will say this in Matthew 12 and verse number 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me, he says, scattereth abroad. Abraham was a friend of God because he was all the way in. But let me show you something else. Abraham and God, consider his faith in God. Abraham had faith in God. This is what allowed the friendship to blossom, because Abraham's faith. Look at James chapter 2 and verse number 23. Wait a minute. And the scripture was fulfilled. What scripture? Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6. So that's the scripture, which says what?
Abraham believed God.
Abraham believed God.
And it was imputed unto him for righteousness.
And then Genesis 15 says it was counted unto him for righteousness and what?
And he was called the friend of God.
Now, Abraham was called the friend of God. The wise man wrote long ago in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. He says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So he says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Abraham was the friend of God because he showed himself friendly. How did he do it? Everything the Bible tells us that Abraham did in reference to God, the Bible says he did by faith. You want to be a friend of God, my friends, I'll tell you where you ought to start. It'd probably be a good idea if you start with faith in him. Amen. And because you start with faith in him, you show yourself friendly. You see, God is going to need faith, because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, if it's impossible to please God without faith, then it's certainly impossible to be his friend. He coming to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Everything Abraham did, the Bible says he did by faith. He left his home, the Bible says, not knowing whether he went, Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. When God told him to leave, the Bible said by faith, Abraham did what God said, not knowing whether he went. God told him to leave his home, and Abraham left. He did that, the Bible says, by faith. When he was told to offer his son Isaac, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 17, the Bible says he did that by faith. Abraham was able to show himself friendly because everything he did by faith, which allowed the relationship that he had with God to blossom. Abraham and God, when you consider that relationship, not only was he his friend, but he had faith. What an example for fathers to have faith in God and to be the friend of God. But not only that, Abraham feared God. Look at Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 12. Abraham had a great deal of respect for the God of heaven. Again, you might say that all these things contribute to the friendship, but yet all can stand on their own as just another one of those characteristics of the man that Abraham was in the way that he viewed and the way that he understood and had a relationship with God. Abraham had a great deal of respect for God, and God revealed to Abraham after he did not refuse to offer his son. God told him in Genesis 22 to offer his son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And he told him to offer that son. When Abraham did not refuse to offer his own son, this is what God had to say about Abraham in Genesis 22 and the verses number 12. Read it for us, Craig. Listen to this. Now I know. What does God now know about Abraham based on his willingness to give up his son?
That thou fearest God.
There it is. That thou fearest God. Come on.
Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me.
So Abraham feared God by God's own admission of what he said based on Abraham's act. God then said the evidence is clear. What is the evidence that he feared God? The sacrifice. That he was willing to sacrifice his son. And he was in the very act of doing what God required in order to please God and to show his respect and reverence for the God of heaven. The Hebrew writer says that what Abraham knew about God is that he has such respect and reverence for God that God had already promised, I'm going to make you a great nation, and it's going to come through this boy right here, Isaac. It's not going to be Ishmael. It's not going to be one born in your house as one of your servants. It's going to be this boy, Isaac. And now God is saying sacrifice him. The Bible said Abraham had such confidence, respect, and reverence for God that he was going to kill that boy, realizing that God couldn't go back on his promise. Which means one thing, he deduced correctly, God's going to have to raise him from the dead. I'm going to go ahead and take his life because God told me to, because I got such respect and reverence for God that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. So he's going to have to raise him from the dead. And so therefore Abraham understood that he sacrificed his son. And God stopped him. And God says, now I know. Now I know. Now, did God need to see this in order to know? No, God didn't need to see that. But Abraham needed to carry this out. Because now God and Abraham know. And God says, now I know that thou fearest God. Why? Because you were willing to give up the most prized possession. You were willing to let go of the thing that you love the most in this world, and you were willing to let it go for me. You were willing to give it up. You wouldn't even withhold it from me, the greatest thing that you have in this world. Let me ask you this. What is it that you won't give up for God? What is it that you won't sacrifice for God? You know, there's a whole lot of folks that won't let go of some things, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Not even for the God of heaven. Might not even be good for them. Some people hold on to things that are bad for them, and they should give them up. They won't even give up that which is bad for them for God, let alone something that you love so intimately and something so close to you. But Abraham proved that there was nothing going to come between he and his God. Even giving up his only begotten son, recognizing God would raise him from the dead. God said, now I know you fear me. We're talking about the kind of fear, not where he was a phobos type fear or a type of fear that has that makes you afraid, as if you are frightened to scared to death and all this kind of thing, but a reverence and awe and understanding of how great God is and who he is. In all that understanding, Abraham had a wonderful relationship with God. He had a wonderful religious regard for God and his authority. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that man is to fear God. Mm-hmm. He says, are you there?
Yes.
Read it for us.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Fear God.
Fear God.
And keep his commandments.
For this is the whole
duty of man.
For this is the whole of man. Solomon wrote that the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. If a man wanted to truly be whole, perfect and entire, lacking nothing, as James would say, perfect and entire, complete, and entire, lacking nothing, you know what he need to do? Fear God, keep his commandments. If a man truly desired to be happy, you know what he would need to do? Fear God and keep his commandments. If a man said, well, you know, I'm just trying to find my purpose in life. I'm trying to find the reason for my existence. I'm trying to find out how I can get the most out of my life while I have them here, and I want to get the most out of my days. I want to find out what is that thing I'm supposed to be doing, and I want to go for it with everything I got. If a man wants to truly fulfill his purpose in life, you know what he needs to do? Fear God and keep his commandments. If a man wanted to truly get all he can get out of his duty, out of his work, out of his business, you know what he needs to do? Fear God and keep his commandments. If a man truly wanted to be a great father, a great husband, a great friend to others, you know what he needs to do? He needs to fear God and keep his commandments. You get the point, don't you? I mean, just go on, make them up. Make them up as you go. If a man wanted to be a great brother, if he wanted to be a great son, if he wanted to be whatever, I don't care how many hats he wears. If he wanted to be great at it, you know what he needs to do? He needs to fear God and keep his commandments. If a man wanted to be a great brother in the brotherhood of Christ, and he wanted to be a great compliment to the congregation where he attends, if he wanted to get all he could out of his spiritual abilities, you know what he needs to do? He needs to fear God and keep his commandments. If Brother Maxwell and Brother Craig wanted to be great elders and get the most out of it with that responsibility for God, you know what they need to do? Fear God and keep his commandments. If Brother Dinsmuke and those like him going to be preachers of the gospel to get all they can and let God get all the use he can out of them and do good in preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what we need to do? Fear God and keep his commandments, and on and on and on. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All the things that I've been writing about, it's all summed up. All of this great searching to find out what truly makes man happy under the sun, and everything that I reached out to get and grab and look, whatever my eyes could see, and whether it was entertainment, whether it was money, whether it was possessions, everything, whether it was wisdom and knowledge, it doesn't matter. When I went and grabbed all of that, and I've been telling you about it from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 12, chapter 12 to the end of the book, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. We can sum it up. I don't care what you do. If it don't have at its conclusion a healthy reverent awe and fear of God, and following what he has prescribed in his word, then it's all for doubt. All for naught. There's a whole lot of great fathers out there, but you know what they don't do? They don't fear God, and they don't keep his commandments. You know what? Oh, they probably good by the world standards. Children probably brag on their fathers for all that they've done, but they don't fear God and keep his commandments. Then it's short-lived, my friend, because it terminates with this life. They've got their praise right here. But boy, when you fear God and keep his commandments, everything you do is much sweeter. Everything your hand touches much better. Everything you do has much more meaning when it culminates in fearing God and keeping his commandments. Abraham feared God. And you know what else he did? He followed God. He followed God. That's my last F. He followed God. Look at Hebrews, rather. Chapter 11 and verse number 8. When God commanded Abraham to go into another country, notice what the Bible says.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place.
Did you say by faith?
By faith.
By faith. Hey, is your life characterized by faith? By faith, Bob. Boy, Bob, isn't that a good way to start? By faith. By faith, Wendell. Isn't that what you want to hear? By faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. Every time you read this man's life, you can see it by faith. Don't you want to be that way, fathers? By faith. Even sisters, don't you want to be that way? By faith. We may be talking about fathers, but we're talking to everyone by faith, because that's what should characterize our lives, by faith. By faith, what did he do?
By faith, when Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey, and he went out, not knowing whether he went.
God commanded Abraham to go to another country. The Bible says he obeyed. He followed God. When God commanded Abraham to offer his son, the Bible says he obeyed. Genesis 22, Hebrews 11, 17. God knew Abraham. Now here's something you need to appreciate. Go to Genesis chapter 18, Craig. God knew Abraham and how it would impact him as a father. God knew it. And listen to this great compliment given to Abraham by God. Again, you know that's his friend. And so God has said, should I withhold that thing from Abraham? Should I withhold that from him, seeing he's going to be a father of many nations and all those kind of things? So God didn't withhold it to him. Look at what he said in Genesis 18 and verse number 19.
For I know him.
For I know him.
Wait a minute.
For I know him. Does God know you? We all admit that he does. Well, look what he knows about Abraham. Look what he knew about Abraham. Read.
That he will command his children.
Boy, you know what? If you a father, you want God to know you like that, don't you?
Amen.
How many fathers out there today, Brother Craig, that won't command their children?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been in a public place, maybe a grocery store or something, and see a little kid cutting up? We say cutting up. I'm misbehaving. That's a little old school cutting up. But have you ever seen a little child misbehaving in a grocery store or something, you know, in the presence of his parents? You ever seen that? And don't you want to help?
Yes.
maybe it's not just me. When you see that, I mean, it's a little over the top. Don't you want to extend your services to help the parents who look a little bewildered, like they don't know what to do, and this little child is running roughshod over them in that store, yelling, screaming, throwing a tantrum and everything, and talking back and stuff like that. I'm looking, and I'm almost ready to leave the store, cause I gotta go somewhere, cause it's bothering me, you know. So I'm looking. And boy, I just, excuse me, y'all don't know what to do. Can I help? I will offer you my services for free. You don't have to pay me. You all wait right here. I'm gonna take him to the bathroom, and I'll be back. I and a lad are gonna go yonder, and we'll return unto you. I mean, that's what I want to do. But I can't do that. I recognize that. But I'm saying, if you've ever seen that, isn't that what you want to do? You want to help? You want to lend your services to them? And so when you see that, you know, you recognize what you're dealing with is some parents who does not command or has command of their children. God says, I know Abraham, that he will command his children. Read. What would he command them?
Well, I know him that he will command his children what? And his household after
him. Watch this. He will command his children and his household what?
After
him. Who was he? He was what, God? A friend of God. And you know what? Since he and God are on the best of terms and they are great, the greatest of friends, you know what his family gonna have to do? You know what? I love him. You know there are people in your life that when you love them so strongly, everybody in your family better love them too. Amen. Isn't that right? He's got such a relationship with God that God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And so the relationship that he has and the respect he has for God, the reverence and the faith and all that stuff, guess what his children gonna have to do? Guess, and his household is not his physical children. It's all the servants and their children. This man was of such a nature, he was such a great man, that God said, I know he gonna command his children, those who immediately belong to him, and all of his servants and their children who followed him as a patriarch. People can't even control what's in their house. Abraham was able to control what was in everybody else's house. The whole little multitude of people that had children, Abraham had command all, you know, like we would say to our children as they're growing up, and maybe sometimes they become adults and maybe they have to come back home. Some of you probably have experienced that. And they have to come back home for a while, and you have to say, if you live in this house, y'all ever heard that? If you live in this house, guess where you going come Sunday morning? You see, Abraham, if you lived in his house, if you were under his rule, if he was responsible for you in any way, he was going to command you, his children, and his household after him, and what? To do what?
And they shall keep the way of the Lord.
And they shall keep the way of the Lord, and what?
To do justice.
To do justice and
judgment.
And judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he has promised of him. So God done said, I promised Abraham all these things, and I know him. I got confidence in him that he's going to command his children and his household after him to do to follow the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all that he had commanded of him. Boy, I'm thankful that Abraham was that kind of man so God could go ahead and fulfill what he wanted through him. That was a man. What a man. One who will pray with his family. That's a man. That's a man. You know, they used to tell us that men, real men don't cry and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't a man. See, we got taught all that kind of stuff. You be tough. We have boys killing themselves and trying not to cry. Because men said men don't cry and all that stuff. Men, real men eat sweet potato pie on and on. But no, real men, according to the scripture, will have faith in God, will be a friend to God, will fear God, will follow God, obey God. Real men like Abraham followed him, and that man will pray with his family. Oh boy, what a man that will pray with his family. What a man, one who will teach them about the Lord as a man of knowledge. That was Abraham. What a man who will command his children as a man of authority. You got a pious man who will pray with his family. You got a man of knowledge who will teach his family. You got a man of authority who will command his family. No wonder Solomon in Judges 24 and verse number 15 says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, He said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods whom your father served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a man. You know what? I had it wrong when I was growing up of what a man was. Had it wrong. And now I read about a man named Abraham, and I find out that a man like Abraham is a man who was a peaceful man. He didn't have to fight and show he wasn't a punk and all this kind of stuff. That's what the world taught us to be a man. And yet here Abraham was a peaceful man. Found out it's good to be a peaceful man. I found out it's good to be a caring man. Don't have to be hard. Don't have to be hardcore. Be a caring man. Care about people. Help people. Uplift people. Encourage people. Abraham, plead on behalf of good and righteous people. Try to help those who are down and being mistreated and all this stuff and lift them up. A caring man. And then I find out that a real man is like Abraham, a man who fears God, a man who has a reverence and a respect for God, a man who has faith in God, that everything he does is by faith, by faith, by faith, because he has that kind of respect and reverence for God. A man who follows God. Every time you see what God says, Abraham obeyed and he did that. That's a man. I now know what a man is, because I certainly didn't know when I was growing up. I'm telling you that by the time I was in my 20s, I was looking around trying to figure this thing out. And I didn't have any way to turn for a man to figure this out. And when I didn't know how to be a man, didn't know what constituted truly being a man. You can see the devastation of divorce and what it'll do to a family when you got young men growing up left to their own devices and no father, and mother working herself to the bone trying to take care of you, but you left to your own, and no real mentors around in the early stages of those teenage years to bring you up and give you those kind of things. And you'll fool around like a man like myself, and you'll step up one day and you'll be looking crazy trying to figure out what in the world am I supposed to do and how am I supposed to do it. And don't know where to turn to get the information. Your older brother's crazier than you, and they depending on you. You know what I did in my dilemma? I picked up the Word of God. Real talk, true story. I was a mess, didn't know what to do. I picked up the Word of God because the men that were around, you saw their lives. Their lives didn't make any sense. So I picked up the Word of God and I said, you know what? The Bible says that God is our Father. I remember that growing up. The Bible said God is our Father. So I'll just pick up the Word of God, and I'll read about God, and then whatever God is, I'll try to do that. And after I did that, you remember that talk I was telling y'all about I had with my children? That's what prompted it. Boy, I saw how many mistakes I was making. Like, God is the Father. And you know one thing I learned about God? God used to say to his children, witness against me and tell me wherein I've done something wrong. And he would say that to Israel. And he would let Israel, if you find any fault in me, if you can testify of things that I've done wrong, because your actions are not making any sense with what I've done for you, so then testify against me. Maybe I'm wrong here. You testify against me and tell me wherein I failed thee or wherein I've done something wrong. And you know, Israel obviously couldn't do it. And I learned that a father is not one who says, don't do as I do as I say do, but a father is one who leads by example. And that's when I knew I couldn't be saying bad words, I couldn't be doing crazy stuff, I couldn't be, I had to be above board in front of my children. I learned that from God. Among the other things I learned that I tried to implement in my life. And Abraham, God says, I know him. He knows me, and he knows you. What does he know? Well, Father's God does know us. And like I said earlier, it's never too late. I don't care how old your children are. It's never too late to call your children and say, let's start now. I want to do better toward you and for you. So let's just start right now. Abraham is revealed to us as a great father because of what he did between his children and God. If God said, I want your child as a sacrifice, Abraham offered it. Here you go, Lord. Yeah, take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him to me. Abraham said, here you go. I'll take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him to you. If God says, okay, wait a minute. You good there? I want your children in service to me all the days of their life. Abraham commanded them and demanded of them that you're going to have a relationship with this God of heaven, and you're going to respect him, you're going to fear him, you're going to have faith in him, you're going to follow him, because that's what he and I have. And if you're in my house, that's what you're going to have. You're going to respect God like a father saying to his son to respect his mother. Oh, you're going to respect that. That's my wife. You're going to respect her. I respect her and you're going to respect her. Don't let your son get out of order with his mother. You say, no, you're going to respect her because I respect her. You're going to respect God because I respect him. You're going to fear God. You're going to have faith in God and you're going to follow God because that's the relationship I have with him. So you know what he did? He was able to give God his children in service. Or he was able to give God his children in sacrifice. What do you want? What a great example of a great father. Thank God for the scriptures that are given to us for our learning, Romans 15 and verse number 4, so we can learn about things like this. And so he is our God. He is a great and wonderful God. And you know what that God of heaven does? He allows us to try again, to start over. Some people say God is a God of second chances. No, God is a God of 32 chances, of 1,400 chances. If you, as long as you got life in your body and you have made mistakes, God say, try again, try again, try again. As long as you're willing to keep getting up, trying to do better, trying to do better. God is that God. And so, I think I'm going to make a phone call to my grown children this afternoon. Remind them of who I am. Sometimes I don't talk to them. And so I think I'm going to make a call to him tonight. I'm going to take a page out of my own sermon. I'm going to call them tonight and remind them of who I am, especially a couple of ones that are wavering in faithfulness. Call them, remind them of who I am as a father, and I'm going to tell them what I think about God. You know, I'm telling you now, I'm thinking this right through, so y'all just go with me. I'm thinking out loud here. A little dangerous when you're doing this in a sermon, but I'm thinking out loud. I think what I'm going to tell them is, y'all, you know, I just want to introduce myself to you. Dad, no, listen. You know, me and God has a relationship. I fear him. I have a great deal of respect and reverence for him. I have faith in him. That God that I read about in the Bible and that God that has been in our lives from the time that we've been around, I mean, that God has never failed anyone at anything at any time. I've got faith in that God. I will follow him. I've been following him for a long time. I'm going to continue to follow him all the days of my life. What's your pride? Why aren't you doing that? Did I teach you to do that? Well, tell me what is the problem. Why can't you feel about God the way I do? Y'all want me to let y'all know what they say next time or something? Let you know how they answer that. They don't know. They're going to be right on blast, right up in here. I'm going to tell you what they said, you know. Wish I had a way to record it. Maybe we could play it in the speaker. If you're here this afternoon, what a great example of a great father that God put in the Bible for us in a man named Abraham. And boy, on our way to being great fathers by following that example. And for once again, who couldn't this apply to? If you're a young person, if you're a sister, if you're a brother, anyone, this applies to us all to have fear, reverence for God, to have faith in God, to be able to follow God and obey him, and to do and have that same attitude that Abraham had, and to be called God's friend because of all of those things, to show ourselves friendly to God. He certainly has shown himself friendly to us, and we know that when he sent his son. Greater love, Jesus had no man than this, John 15:13, that a man laid out his life for his friends. And he died for us when we was enemies and hostile toward him, Romans chapter 5, verses 13. If you are here tonight, this afternoon, and you want to be a part of the family of God, and you want to be what God would have you to be, you need to come to him, believing in his son, Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the son of God, and be willing to be baptized. He'll put you into Christ. He'll add you to his church, to his family, and you be faithful to him. And whatever your situation is, whether it's a father, whether it's a mother, whether it's a wife, whether it's a husband, just know this. If you follow those examples that was given by Abraham, God will be pleased, and you certainly will get the most out of life. Need to respond. We ask you to do so as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Would you be free from the burden?